AC said you had some dough for me.
Is that a fact? How much do I owe you?
AC said 10%.
Too bad AC's not in charge no more.
What do you mean?
He's upstairs taking a bath. He'll call you when he gets out. Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to give you snakes. I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
These are my favorite Christmas movies, and I want y'all to go from 1 to 10. 10 being the best movie ever, 1 being the worst movie ever. And then obviously you may not have seen some of them, but The Christmas Story, Red Ryder, BB Gun.
9.
4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's no, a total white boy
it.
Movie.
It's a total white
boy. I don't know if any black people like that movie.
I think they were
context.
Talking about alcohol. I think that was an alcohol yeah. reference. Like, what's in this? Like, eggnog. You know, it's Christmas. People put liquor in their eggnog. Like, what's in this drink?
Yeah.
But I think that because of how our culture's evolved, we go to being something being roofied. It's like, I don't think the song's talking about someone potentially getting roofied.
When my uncle was in the hospital right before Christmas, this is years ago, they didn't want me going by the hospital because he had tubes inside of him and whatnot. And I snuck away and I went to the hospital by myself. And I went and I sat with him and I sang to him and I spent time with him. And I'm so glad I did that because he passed away like a week or two after that.
Dang.
I like demanded, pleaded, called God on promises and was like, you have to show up or like I am done. And he did. And he did.
That's something yep. to really think about. What does it mean that the God of the universe loves me?
Are we saying that our God is bigger than their God or what?
Man, you got my mind going crazy right now.
I just think that that is evangelical bullshit.
And I don't fit in their box anymore. So feeling rejected from the church makes me feel far away from God.
If I'm living out the love of God, love of the divine, then in some ways we're unoffendable.
It's wrong to marginalize anybody for any reason.
Sometimes we can just have some things about our perspective that's off until we encounter someone who can challenge our thoughts, have conversations with us, and we just continue to grow and evolve.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I like that.
That sounded like womp, 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 womp to rob you.
I'm a hardcore gospel lover. I do love the gospel. I just think we get it wrong.
Girl, I was so highly medicated, I don't even know if you
Oh, God, my people.
Well, while you're pouring, let me just read the last. So listeners, there was a discrepancy on our start time. It's mainly my discrepancy. I thought we were going to start at 1:45. Turns out 2:00 is our start time. So kind of going back and forth about it. But Robbie said 2:00 for him. And Joey was kind of out of the conversation. We didn't hear from him. I've been on for the last 15 minutes. Robbie says, I'll jump on in a second. Sorry. And then I wrote, Joey's not on yet. He's either masturbating or having another seizure. Maybe both.
Or can you tell?
Oh my
gosh. Oh, you know, that's a good point.
All right. So I am curious, at what level do you guys like Christmas? And I'll put it this way. I absolutely love Christmas. I see my whole calendar year revolving around Christmas. And sometime in November, I put this ring on. This was my grandfather's, and so I remember my four grandparents that have passed on, and it's just a tradition for me. And when I'm wearing this, I'm like, ooh, the holidays. I wear a real cheap cologne called Gray Flannel that reminds me of Christmas of 89 when I got it. It just feels Christmassy, so I wear that. And there was a time there was a few years ago, and I was like, this is so awesome because I don't really have the sort of kid, oh my gosh, I just can't wait. I can't wait. This is killing me. I just can't wait till December 25th. Like for me, I enjoy the build up, and then I'm not super sad when it's over. But it did occur to me recently. I was like, this happens every year and I love it.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I love it. So bringing a classic Joey question in on a 10 scale, 1 to 10, 1 being ultimate, 1 being 0, don't care. 10 being incredible love. Are you a solid 10 for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
For sure. I absolutely love it.
I love it.
I know you're not like that.
Who, me?
Yeah. let me see if I can guess y'all's numbers. Okay. I'm going to say Hain 5, Robbie 8.
Mm. Yeah.
Robbie? Yeah.
Yeah, you're accurate. Right. Yeah. I'm definitely about an 8.
And is there anything you can pinpoint as to why it's an 8, not a 10?
Probably because Christmas is work time for me. And so, like, I really enjoy I really enjoy all the Christmas stuff. I love singing Christmas concerts and things like that, but it can tend to get a little excessive. And then I think now as a parent, it's like I enjoy watching the kids be happy, but it's just so much work. And there's so many things that you're like navigating around it. So I think that's, that kind of bumps it down a couple points, but I ultimately am still like, I love the cheesy Christmas movie. I still watch, you know, the Santa, I just watched the Santa Claus last week. And I'm all about the songs.
I just watched the worst Christmas movie of all time that I love, Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes! And Santa, I mean, it's horrible, but I love it.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
Oh, that's awesome. So for me, I would say seven. I wouldn't actually say five. I would
I'd go with seven. I'm surprised.
Yeah, yeah. But for me, I don't really, I mean, obviously Christmas is part of it, but for me, anywhere between Halloween to New Year's, I just like that whole time of year.
Yeah,
I just, I love the holidays. I think, you know, how Rob is talking about how things get really busy for him in the Christmas, I think, or during the Christmas season. I think for me, I struggle with Christmas because I think it gets a little overdone somewhat, and gets a little too materialistic at times. And that's whatever, but I really enjoy Halloween to New Year's because of just all the social connections. I see so many people that I don't normally see throughout the year. We just went to a Christmas party. Last weekend, I got to connect, reconnect with guys I hadn't seen in a year. And I just really, I really love those spaces. So,
Yeah. And I pair it with weather that I like more.
Same.
Even though it's not consistently cold in Charleston, right, but at least you're going to get some of the cold weather. But yeah, I'm totally with you.
Yep. I love it getting cooler.
The fashion is way better too, of course.
Speaking of fashion, check out my fashion. Look at that. See that?
Hey. Oh, okay.
Whoa, look out.
You see, I love
look at those buttons right there.
You look like at that.
This is a cardigan. For the listeners, this is a cardigan, and I never wear stuff like this. I'm normally in hoodies.
It's got a popped collar.
Yeah. But I put this on today for Robbie.
Hey, nice.
Literally, I'm going to wear this for the podcast today.
Robbie, I was very close. Yeah, Robbie, I was very close to calling you yesterday, but now I'm going to ask after the fact. So I did a private little wedding ceremony downtown, and I had black slacks, you know, black Adidas, and I, you know, all, that's totally fine. But then I had a white shirt and a gray jacket. So everything is like gray and black, but then my tie was like burgundy, mainly burgundy. And I was like, I think you can just kind of pick a color if it's white and black and gray. I mean, I thought it looked good, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to bother Robbie. I think it's all right.
That's cool.
Is,
I like that.
Is there like a rule? Is there a rule as far as like fashion when it comes to like black, white, gray, what you throw on as a tie?
I don't think there's necessarily a rule. I think you are in the right thinking as far as like having a color be the pop or the feature of the outfit. So it's like everything else was kind of the base, the black and the gray. And of course, just like the neutral white. And so like it really brought attention to the tie. I used to do that a lot when I was singing for a lot of weddings. I would just like have, I would get a little crazier with the tie and make it like a floral print or like something. Like you have to kind of be careful because sometimes if it gets too busy, it can turn into like band director tie or like youth leader tie, you know, like, you know, the Christmas present tie kind of thing. So just making sure it's not too busy, I think you'll be good.
Hey, do you have any like crazy low hanging fruit fashion pet peeves where you're just like, oh my gosh, that person does not need to be wearing such and such?
I honestly, my some of my pet peeves are excessive plaid on guys. It's so such a like common plaid thing.
Like plaid a flannel shirt?
Like plaid,
not like flannel. Plaid everything? Not flannel, like
pants
actual
and
like
shirt?
No, just the shirt, like the plaid shirt, the flannel looks good.
How do you get
good.
Excessive plaid? It's either plaid or not.
How is
plaid excessive? It's a bunch of squares,
plaid
no matter
pocket.
How.
It's a plaid shirt with a plaid pocket. That's enough plaid.
I think it becomes excessive when the plaid patterns are like super small and it starts to look like a boxer short.
Yep.
You know, like that kind of plaid that you see on boxers. A lot of guys wear that specifically. Yeah. Youth pastors.
All right. Buy Robbie a different Christmas gift.
Specifically pastors. I was like, but flannel's great.
So, yeah. So can we circle back to the Christmas movies real quick?
Oh, we're going to talk Christmas movies like crazy. Oh. But before that, have y'all ever had any horrible Christmases? While y'all are thinking, I had a really hard time with compartmentalizing our, and this is not good. I don't think this is good. I think that I would now navigate this a lot better. But when Liz lost Joshua, I had a really hard time compartmentalizing, knowing what she and her kids were going through and then celebrating over here. So 2012 was Christmas after he died. 2013, check this out. I was still in that kind of grieving for her season. Then Priscilla gets a phone call the Sunday before December the 18th. Basically, she finds out that not only does her dad have cancer, but he's going to die anytime. And so I said, you need to get on the plane. He dies 3 days later. So Priscilla loses her dad. So that is super, super sad. And so here we are, Christmas Eve. It's just a real heavy, sad, vibe. And then I hear upstairs Rosa literally puking her guts out. And I hear her say, Mom, will you pray for me? I'm like, good Lord, what else can happen?
Shoes just kept dropping crazy. Everywhere.
Oh. Yeah, and then it kind of spreads. It was just like, this is just the worst.
I would say my worst Christmas was last year.
Really? Yeah.
So I worked a double shift. I worked Christmas Eve and I worked Christmas Day. And I don't know if you guys had the cold blast in Charleston that we had in the mountains, but we had this super cold blast of Arctic air, and it stayed around 0 degrees or below for like 3 days straight.
Dang.
So what that meant was it was right before Christmas. So everything started to thaw out around the 24th. And I worked a double shift the 24th and 25th because I flew to Minnesota to reunite with my in-laws and my wife and kids the 26th. Anyway, when things start to thaw out, pipes are bursting everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when you work for the fire department, everybody's calling because my sprinkler head's busted or this is leaking. So we ran in a double shift, 48 hours. I think I ran 65 calls, and it was just a lot of mop up and in and out. And it was, didn't get any sleep for two nights straight. So,
dang.
So compared to yours, which you just talked about with all the suffering and loss, mine's nothing. Mine was just exhausting, but generally I think I've had really good Christmases.
Yeah. I have so much respect for the workforce. There was a year where Priscilla and I were just bouncing around. And so we were living in Iowa and I was just getting random jobs. So I have a job at the Target Distribution Center. And on Thanksgiving Day, I have to be at work at 6 o'clock. I actually get off, I think it was like 4 hours early because you're working like 6 to 4. I mean, just tons of hours. I get off at 12 o'clock. I came home to Priscilla's parents' house, had Thanksgiving. Then we drove like 4 hours to go see her dad. And I literally had to get up the next morning at 6 o'clock. I was like, I hate this because, I went from being a student to a teacher to I always had these holidays.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy. You take that for granted. Yeah. I mean, there's people so working true. Their asses off.
Yeah.
Celebrating. Yep. Yeah. I'm working Christmas Day this year.
Dang.
Not working Christmas Day. We have a game on Christmas Eve and then chapel on the 23rd. But it's like nothing compared to being on staff at a church.
Yeah, right.
Which is what I'm used to. I always enjoy that marathon, but it's still exhausting and it doesn't leave a lot of, it feels like you squeeze in the family time.
All right, Haim, before we go movies, I'm gonna challenge you guys, and you're right to say these are Joey questions. We're going to say on a scale of 1 to 10, and I need for you to think on your toes here. I need for you to think on your toes because we can't spend too much time in this. I'm going to leave some of my favorite movies out, but these are my favorite Christmas movies. And I want y'all to go from 1 to 10, 10 being the best movie ever, 1 being the worst movie ever. And then obviously you may not have seen some of them, but The Christmas Story, Red Ryder, BB Gun.
9, 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's a total white boy movie.
It's a total
white boy. I don't know if any black people like that movie.
It's like a marathon every year too. They just put it on all day.
Right. This one actually is not one of my favorites, but it's typically so many people's favorite. Chevy Chase Vacation, Christmas Vacation.
6.
I've seen Vegas Vacation. I haven't seen Christmas Vacation. I have it queued up, so I'll respond to that later.
Wow. Gotcha. Home Alone 1 and 2. I'm gonna bundle them together. I love it. What do y'all think?
3.
Whoa. Oh.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I was gonna say 9.
Oh wow. Yeah.
9 for me.
All right, Elf.
Nine, ten. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah. All right. Four Christmases. Have you seen it? Because you either love it or you hate it. I think it's one of the funniest movies. Not even Christmas movie. It's one of the funniest movies out there. Four Christmases. Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn. Have y'all seen it?
Eight. Yes.
Eight. Robbie, you said eight too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And then have you seen Family Stone?
No.
Yes, I have, but I don't remember it. As a long
yeah,
time ago.
Yeah, we watch it every year. The Grinch.
Two.
With Jim Carrey.
Two.
Two.
Six.
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one movie that I love that nobody in my family likes, but The Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. I love that animated version of The Christmas Carol.
Is that your favorite version of The Christmas Carol? What's your favorite version?
Here's the thing, dude, is that I haven't seen the classic.
But of all the different versions of it.
Haven't seen
Scrooged with Bill Murray?
Nope.
Oh!
I started watching it and I didn't really like it, so I need to give it another try, I think.
The Muppet Christmas Carol? Year.
Don't really. I have it, but I don't really like it.
Sorry. Much. Carry on, Joey. What's the next one?
No, that's pretty much it.
So this is a Christmas movie I really like, and I'm curious if you guys like it. And it's going to be kind of shocking. It's probably you guys wouldn't think I'd like it. I love The Holiday.
Okay. I just don't feel like it's a Christmas movie, but I do like that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love
Jack Black and Kate Winslet's story.
Yeah, I don't like the other story.
No, I don't either. I'm not interested in it at all.
I don't know why that is. My brother's the same way. We love the Jack Black, Kate Winslet story, the Reese Witherspoon and the other dummy. I just don't even
know. Cameron Diaz and Jude Law.
Cameron Diaz, are you serious?
Yeah, Cameron Diaz and Jude Law.
That's right. I don't know why I said Reese, but I'm not interested
in that story at all. She's actually significantly annoying to me in that film. But something about the Jack Black, Kate Winslet, just the way they interact and the story, I think is so endearing and I love it.
Yeah. Mm. Have you seen that, Robbie?
I have. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So, Robbie, a Preacher's Wife?
Yeah. Have y'all seen it yet?
Is it a Christmas movie?
I got to watch it with you.
It is. It's a Christmas movie. But, here's the thing. I didn't realize until a few years ago that there's only like one white person in that movie.
Isn't it a remake, though, of a white a movie full of white people, like The Bishop's Wife?
The Deacon's Wife, I think.
The Deacon's Wife?
Really?
Yeah, it's a remake.
It was called The Deacon's Wife.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely phenomenal. It's got all the Christmas magic in it. It's like a church that's kind of dying and an angel comes to revive the church and to save the church. But it's Denzel Washington and the preacher's wife is Whitney Houston. So obviously there's a little something
right
there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever this is the most random thought, but it's so true. Have you ever seen real people that look like they're from Whoville? Like their noses are a little pointy. And here's the thing. They are the cutest. Like a woman who looks like she's from Whoville. I just want to say, you are adorable. You look like you're from Whoville. What? And you can't say that. But I've seen some like such cute kids and cute women. They look like they're from Whoville. It's just how their face is. It's kind of like a curvy nose a little bit. Then just I don't know, like rosy cheeks or something, but it's there's some real people that look like they're from Whoville and you can't tell them that. And
do you feel the same way about people that look like Oompa Loompas? Did you guys enjoy Spirited? That came out last year with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Priscilla loves it, and I definitely like it for sure. It's good.
Yeah, it's really great.
That's a Christmas movie?
It is, It's a spinoff of Charles Dickens. And Octavia Spencer, who else is in? Octavia Spencer, Will Ferrell, Reynolds, and there's somebody else that's a main character in it, isn't there, Joey? I can't remember.
I've been kind of obsessed with Ryan Reynolds here lately, just watching interviews of him. He's just so quick with his humor.
Mm-hmm.
He's hilarious.
You'd love Spirited. Yeah. It's definitely in that vein of, borderline asshole, but funny, sarcastic.
Right.
All right. So have y'all seen the little comic sketch with the guy basically saying there's a call to cancel Baby It's Cold Outside? Have y'all seen that?
Yes. Comedy sketch? Oh yeah.
All right. So we're going to play this for our listeners so they know what the heck we're talking about.
And the one that really killed me was last Christmas, we canceled a song that was written in the 1940s called Baby It's Cold Outside. People said that they were triggered, that the lyrics were rapey, and they had toxic masculinity. And that's fine if you feel that way, but radio stations across the country wouldn't play the song because people were outraged. Which is fine if you feel that way, but at the exact same time, the number one song in this nation for over 2 months was Wet Ass. I'm not making that up. You can look it up. Google it. So I want to wrap up my show by comparing and contrasting the lyrics of these two songs. If indeed this country has lost its fucking mind, shall we? Let's start with the horribly offensive Christmas song written just after World War II. I really can't stay, baby, it's cold outside. I gotta go away, baby, it's cold outside. This evening has been so very nice. Yeah, you f*** with some wet bring a bucket and a mop for this wet beat it up inward, extra large, extra hard. Put the right in your face, swipe your nose like a credit card. My mother will start to worry. Beautiful, what's your hurry? My father will be pacing the floor. Listen to that fireplace roar. Well, maybe just half a drink more. Spit in my mouth. Look in my eyes. This is wet. Come take a dive. Talk your bite your lip. Ask for a car while you ride that. My sister will be suspicious. Gosh, your lips look delicious. My brother will be there at the door. Waves on a tropical shore. Well, maybe just a cigarette more. I don't want to spit. I want to gulp. I want to gag. I want to choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that's swinging the back of my throat. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, this country has lost its mind.
So first of all, it's genius. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, for a comedian to think of doing that, it's genius.
That's what comics do, man.
Here's the thing, man. I was actually surprised. I went and checked the lyrics of Baby, It's Cold Outside, and it was worse than I thought.
It's not that bad. It was definitely worse.
It was worse than I thought. Now, Hayne, you know me. Oh, I'm not calling for canceling.
No, I know you're not.
Everybody just calm down. But I'm actually going to pull it up because there are a couple of lines in there. There's a couple of lines there, and I was like, wow, okay. Say what's in this drink. Like, that sounds like she's like, whoa, you put something in this drink.
No.
What's the sense of hurting my pride? Like, oh, so you're gonna resist me, like, and that's gonna kill my pride. There was one more. Go ahead, Hayne. Go ahead.
Well,
and push
first
back.
Off, this was when was this written? Like, I want to. Dean Martin. I mean, when did people start getting roofied? Like, when was that a thing? When did that start?
Bill Cosby started it.
Really? Oh, that's really awesome. No, I mean, I'm looking at here like anyway, I'm just saying, I think they were
context.
Talking about alcohol. I think that was an alcohol reference, like, what's in this, like, eggnog, you know, it's Christmas, people put liquor in their eggnog, like, what's in this drink?
Yeah,
I don't think, but I think that because of how our culture's evolved, and then, we go to being something being roofied. It's like, I don't think the song's talking about someone potentially getting roofied.
Yeah.
But that's right, me pushing back. Sorry.
The other line is, you're very pushy, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to think of it as opportunistic.
I've never seen that line before, actually.
Right.
I'm looking here. I'm coming through.
So I am not that, like, we originally were going to have Ellen on here, and she had to bow out last minute. So I would really enjoy to hear her take on it because she has her antennas way up with this sort of thing. I want to be sympathetic to people who do to me. I just have this kind of in the context of a dude hanging with someone who already likes him. It doesn't sound like she can't stand this guy. It sounds like, you know, somebody who's trying to romance this girl, and, you know, you can actually hit on a girl without trying to manipulate, but I will say there are some lines where I get where they're coming from, and I could see the pushback on the song. I get it.
All right, you're in for a treat. It's only fitting to play my daughter singing this song that we're talking about. This concert was last week. For those of you in similar seasons of parenting, you know what this does to a dad's heart to play this for you all. And this voice, angelic and amazing. Enjoy.
I really can't stay. This evening has been so very nice.
like ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My
hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Out there.
I wish I knew how to break the spell.
Your hat, your hair looks well.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I move
you closer? At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
My pride.
I really can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside.
My
sister will be suspicious.
Yes, yes, you're delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Sure.
My maiden aunt's mind is
delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette more. I've gotta get home. Say you'll lend me a coat.
How I love my firstborn, born on my birthday, Rosa Svensson.
I'm going to send to you five. I really can't say, baby, it's cold outside.
You know, I understand how the culture got there. I just think it's bullshit. I mean, I'm going to read you some more lyrics right here. And you guys tell me why this hasn't gotten canceled yet. If this is the game we're playing, if this is the paradigm, every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see you belong to me? How my poor heart aches with every step you take. Since you've been gone, I've been lost without a trace. Dream at night, I can only see your face. I look around, but it's you I can't replace. I feel so cold, I long for your embrace. I keep crying, baby, baby, please. Every move you make, every vow you break, every smile you fake, every claim you stake, I'll be watching you. And every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. That is a classic Sting song. We all know it. But it's creepy as hell.
Oh yeah.
If we put it in that paradigm, you know,
so many songs like that.
True. Song, totally.
The song "In the Air Tonight," Phil Collins.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then also, like, I was asked to sing. What's the song? Her, there was a secret chord. David Leonard. Hallelujah.
Oh yeah.
I was asked to sing
Leonard
that
Cohen.
At
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen. Yeah. David Leonard. That's a friend of mine. I was asked to sing that at a wedding and I was like, yeah, great song.
Yeah.
But do you want me to sing verse two of the song? You know,
like
really asking, I saw you bathing on the roof.
Yeah.
I needed proof. Like, you know, like, you don't really want that being sung as you're walking down the aisle. Really?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's clearly King David's, King David and Bathsheba.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, y'all will both get a kick out of this. Like there are some majorly pop phenomenons artists that I just have never heard of. Priscilla says that's why I'm a music snob. And it's not that I'm a music snob. Like there are some really big bands that I like and enjoy, but I'm that's not where I'm looking for my music. So for example, I was sitting with, one of the biggest Christian artists out there right now, Brandon Lake, and he mentions Ed Sheeran. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
What?
I did not know who it was. All right, but listen to this. Listen how funny this is. I'm sitting in that same studio with John Mark McMillan and Propaganda, and I don't know how it was brought up, but I had never heard of WAP. I did not know.
Oh.
And I remember John Mark McMillan was saying how funny it was that his song, How He Loves Us with Sloppy Wet Kiss, somehow was appearing on similar listening lists with Wire.
Oh my gosh, listen to this, y'all.
To this, and y'all know some of John Mark's personality. I was like, WAP. I was like, what is that? And he's like, nah, I'm not going to say it. I was like, no, seriously. Like, for recording, I'm like, no, seriously. I just have no idea. It's like,
right.
Joey, I'm not going to say what it is. You'll just have to look for it later. I kept pushing him. He's like, I'm just not going to say it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's better than my niece playing the song in the car. Like, no, actually, it was in the living room. And she actually went down and did the dance because there was this TikTok challenge to do it in front of your parents. And I was like, girl, if you don't get off the floor right now.
You know, this is probably more appropriate for a different episode, but I would love to get your take, because at least with the Black female rappers, because I hear that a lot of their lyrics and what they're doing, they're pushing back on the misogyny from the past. And I'm just curious. We don't have to talk about it today, but I'd love a different episode to unpack that with you, Robbie.
Yeah, let's do that with some of the ladies, because I talked about this years ago, but I don't think any of the regular female hosts were part of the conversation. I think the big debate for me is, I understand women power, our bodies, our freedom. We do what the hell we want. We're liberated. I get that, but I don't know how you can watch what they're doing and saying, and then also say, but I'm against the objectification of women. I don't know how you can have it both ways. Like, it just seems like how they're singing and what they're doing with their body and what they're talking about with your body, they're basically saying, so objectify me. I mean, they're talking about their body. I mean, my gosh, can you get any clearer than WAP? I mean, we're talking about that, like, that's objectifying a body, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it doesn't feel like one of those things you can have both ways. Okay, sure. Women power.
But I will say, on top of that, just like from a cultural perspective, not like the WAP or whatever, but if you go to tribes in Africa, the way that Africans move is, it's going to seem sensual in a lot of other cultures when it's not actually sensual. And same thing. It's like, if you go to South America and you're watching salsa happen, a lot of times the way that, you know, it's a very hip centric dance. And so it seems sensual where it, you know, where it's not really sensual. That's just the movement. And in order to do the movement properly, that's what you have to do. But at the same time, you know, like what you're talking about is actually adding the lyric, adding the visuals, adding the outfit, like all these different things. But when I remember we had, when I was band directing, well, I was drum leading our marching band at my college, and our band was like, okay, right? You know, but then we had these dancers that were absolutely incredible. And it was like, they were called the Platinum Divas, and they were like the dancers that you would get at an HBCU. So it was awesome. It was like literally the best part of our program. And they got canceled by leadership because they were told that they danced too sexy.
Wow.
And I was like, dance too sexy? What are you talking about? Like, you know, especially at that point, because I had never seen anything different, you know.
So I've actually been watching some really old movies. So, I forgot to mention, It's a Wonderful Life is one of my favorite movies. Like, not even in the Christmas genre, I think it's one of the best movies out there. So I've been watching some older films, and for me, if you know, it's not like, oh, I've got to watch that again, that's one of my favorite movies, but I really do enjoy this aspect of it. It is a lesson in culture. Like, I watched Christmas in Connecticut and listened to something that two men said, and one of the men, you're not supposed to really like him that much, and so I wasn't surprised when he said this. But then the good guy, the one that was a gentleman and nice to the women, he said it too, and I was like, whoa, it blew my mind. So they're trying to get a woman to do something, not sexual, not necessarily. I don't think in this case either one of them was sexual or physical or anything, but she's just like, no, I'm not going to do that. They follow it up with, oh, come on, you wouldn't want to disappoint me, would you? That line was said twice by the bad guy and the good guy, and I was like, is that a thing? Like, did guys back then, if they weren't getting their way, they're like, you don't want to let me down? And then the woman's like, gosh, I actually don't, because you're the man.
Yeah,
I don't want to let you down.
That's a huge thing.
Yeah,
that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And it still happens today. Like, there's so many there's so many situations like that that now become almost like, it's almost like a dog whistle. Like when you hear it, you know,
it's like, when they're not married. There's no relationship there. Like, it's just a man. That's crazy.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, that was the culture. That was the culture.
Well, you're, what,
yeah,
you're
my eyes are being open to like, it's not like I didn't believe that it was really bad back then, but I think seeing the movies and even how, you know, and I don't think it was as bad as, like blackface portraying, black people. I don't think it's that bad, but most of the women are like, oh, hi. And, you know, just kind of like ditzy and, you know, just real kind of flaky. That's most of the women were like that in these movies.
Right. Right.
What decade did that movie come out in? When was that?
Christmas in Connecticut. I think it was the '40s.
Okay. So it's an old movie,
which is another thing that I thought about. I'm like, I'm watching this heartwarming story with all of these heartwarming moments, and pretty much everybody I'm looking at probably thinks Robbie needs to use a different restroom. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, wow. I'm thinking, you know, it's all feel good movie. And I'm like, they haven't even gotten to the '60s yet.
Right. Right.
That blows my mind.
Right. And that was during the time of blackface too. Like blackface was still prominent during that decade as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
There weren't in the theater world. We're just kind of getting to the point where blacks are allowed to be on stage with whites at that point, you know? So it's very new in the '40s. Yeah. It's interesting, but it's the same conversation you're talking about with the lyric, you know, Hayne keeps going back to the time period of the lyric. And I think it brings up the conversation of like, some things don't necessarily stand the test of time. And, I think in some cases it's okay. In some cases it's not, you know, but it is like, when you're creating artwork, you're creating out of your context of now, or you're dreaming about a different future. I think it's okay that people wrestle with it if it's for the fact of like, not to just be like, well, whatever, it's what we always did. But more for the fact of like, all right, this song was made to make you feel good. It was made to make you feel romanced. It was made to make you feel this way or whatever. So when I heard that John Legend and Kelly Clarkson had changed the words to that song to make it more appropriate, I honestly didn't even notice it when I heard it. But then later on, looked it up, and you know, I felt like it gave the same feelings. But some people would argue against that too. But you know,
so how do you feel about "Baby, It's Cold Outside," Robbie?
I mean, I saw it as romance. I'm more of like as a performer, I really like the golden age with musical theater. Like, I like the nostalgia, all of that, but I'm pretty big on like, if there are things that are offensive in lyrics, either I won't sing them, or if they give me the permission to change them, then I'll just do that, because typically your audience isn't going to notice it anyway.
Yeah. What would you say is your offensive limit? So if it offends 2 or 3 people out of 200, or if it offends 50 out of 200 or 150 out of 200, where's the line where you say, okay, this is just going to offend a small group of people, and the offense really isn't reasonable, so I'm going to go ahead and perform. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it boils down to personal conviction. I don't necessarily think of it as like a quantitative, as far as like how many people per se. I, as a performer now, when I was a younger performer, I sang anything, like pretty much. Yeah. Not anything, but like I didn't really think about it like this. But now, as I'm older, I am pretty choosy about the messages that I choose to portray and the songs that I choose to sing in front of people. And I frequently say that, you know, I have the capability of singing it, but I just choose not to do it, because if it's not going to be something that a way that I would treat someone else, or something lighthearted that I can make a joke about, like I sing Mac the Knife, right? Like, and I make a joke about it when I sing it. Because it's about murder. So, you know, I didn't know that for like 10 years when I sang it. And then I found out about it later. And, you know, now the older people, they kind of know what the song's about, but it's, so.
How about you, Joey?
Talk about it.
What?
How about you as far as "Baby, It's Cold Outside"?
I mean, I kind of have, like, first of all, I have offense in a very, I think this is where maybe our generation is a bit different than this younger generation. If you're offended, don't listen to it. But don't tell other people not to listen to it. Just don't listen to it. Just stay away from it. Yeah. You know, erase it from your iTunes library. Just don't touch it. Turn the TV off if somebody's performing it. Right. You don't have to make this huge broadcast. Now, I'm sure there's some exceptions. I mean, I'm sure there's some things that an artist could say where it's just like, oh my gosh, that is just absolutely horrible. Nobody should listen to them. But even in those cases, just don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You take away the power.
Yeah. So for me, I'm always trying to be in learner mode because I have recently discovered blind spots, and I'm readily accepting of the fact that I still have blind spots. And so I would say I understand where people are coming from, but I would say there's a very good chance that the person writing that lyric was not even thinking taking advantage of women, and it's a lighthearted, fun song. And my gosh, did you not see Zoe and Will Ferrell singing it together? I mean, it's like, so yeah, it doesn't offend me, but I get it.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. James Taylor has one of the sweetest versions of that. I don't know if y'all have heard it, but James Taylor has an unbelievable, beautiful version of that song. But yeah, I'm completely with you. I'm similar space.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask y'all this. We'll wrap this up here soon, but I'm watching Christmas in Connecticut, and you know, I don't even know. Is that that's the name of the movie. I was like, am I getting the name wrong? But yeah, I think it's Christmas in Connecticut, and I'm watching, you know, that you just people lighting up, you know, just constantly. I mean, wherever they are, restaurant, workplace, I mean, they're smoking cigarettes, and I'm thinking, how in the world do they not know that is bad for you? Like I'm watching it in 2023, but I'm, you know, so for me, I'm like, okay, I get the fact that now we're researched and now we know, but you're breathing in smoke. Like, how do they not think, oh, smoke, lungs, that's gotta be bad. So what I was thinking is there ever going to be a time where we watch movies of people on their cell phones, on apps, and you know, selfies and all of that. And we're like, wow, that's disastrous for your mental health. I can't believe they did not realize it.
All the radio waves going through your head.
Yeah.
We think about smoke and lungs, like all the radiation. Dude, I will tell you. So working in emergency services in our hazmat, we actually have what's the name of the thing? It's a Geiger meter. I'm getting this all messed up. Anyway, my hazmat buddies would be upset at me. I don't remember it. We ran a Geiger meter over a cell phone, and it pinged more than a microwave.
No way.
Yes. Yes. But we take it and hold it up to our face.
I heard that it was less than like the TSA thing.
I think Verizon or AT&T probably put that stat out.
Right. I know. Like that, like kind of like mass marketing.
Yeah. All I know is these guys took a Geiger meter and they were running. I'll also say you can run a Geiger meter over a banana and a banana will ping a little bit. So
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
how does that work?
What do you think about the mental health aspect? Do you think there'll ever be a time where we're just like, gosh, how could they be that stupid to think?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's where we're at.
But it's not changing.
It will. You know, it will.
See, I think it's going to take way longer than you think. Way longer. I do think it'll happen, but I'm thinking 50 years.
Maybe so. But I listened to a doctor recently. I think it was he's not a doctor. Jonathan Haidt. He's a sociologist, psychologist. Written a lot of great books. If anyone's interested, Jonathan Haidt. Anyhow, a lot of New York Times bestsellers. But he was talking about how, just like you said,
he wrote The Coddling of the American.
He sure did. So Haidt talked about how in the 40s and 50s, it was smoking, like everybody smoked, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, holy crap, we shouldn't be smoking anymore. And then in the 70s and 80s and even 90s, it was sugar. No, fat's bad. Don't consume fat. That's really bad for you. So everybody starts intaking all this sugar, and then diabetes went out the roof because we realized that healthy fat's really good for us. It's the excessive sugar. So we look back on the 80s, and I'm like, I cannot believe I ate what I ate because it was just put on my plate. We all did it. And I think we're going to get into maybe the 2030s, 2040s, maybe even 50s. And we're going to look back and be like, I cannot believe we were engaging in all these things on our phones. Not talking about radio waves coming in, gamma rays coming out of the front, but the mental health piece. That's what he was.
You're way more optimistic. You're way more optimistic. Yeah. I don't think Robbie's kids. He's got the youngest kids. I think that they will live their whole lives and then pass away having never changed their.
I think it'll get regulated. I think it'll have to.
Whoa!
So just like tobacco got regulated, I think we're gonna start. We're seeing more regulations on food. That's happening all the time, and I think the same thing's gonna happen. It's gonna change because the federal government's gonna make it change.
Are you talking about Robbie. Specifically cell phones? Or are you talking about technology?
I would say the constant needing to be entertained, the constant image selfies, just scrolling,
the social media tornado.
You know, let's all be honest. We all love the fact that we don't have to be bored sitting on the toilet. But bottom line is that's how we are all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I'm actually trying to, especially on the weekend, I try to take at least a day and a half, maybe 2 days, where I am not engaged on my phone because I don't want to lose the ability to not have my phone.
Sure.
That's so good. The thing is, I think I feel a little bit in between the two of you guys. Like, I've been noticing in different places that you have to have a cell phone to get things done.
Right.
So like, even, you know, obviously like I'm going to the football games on Sundays, right? Like they don't have a line for paper tickets.
Right.
You go to a concert or whatever, or, you know, DMV, whatever, everything is mobile app.
Yes.
Scan this on your mobile app. Even like things from school, everything is uploading on mobile app. So it's like, even though a lot of people are saying that they want to get away from the cell phone, you need it for more things.
Right.
To get more access to more things. And, you know, I'm in education. Well, not really anymore, but my daughter's in kindergarten now. And I'm constantly just trying to debrief like what she's doing in school. Obviously, you can't really get an accurate depiction of everything that they're doing, but everything is technology related. But the content, when I was in grad school, they were teaching robotics, right? Through technology, they were teaching programming. They were talking about education robots, things like that. That's not what she's coming home talking about. She's talking about YouTube and brain, quote unquote, brain breaks and, you know, all these things. I'm like, that's not the same thing. And now she's saying that specifically. She's saying, I'm bored. Like, I've never heard her say that before.
Interesting.
And now she's saying it every single day. And she's having meltdowns if you, like, sit still too long. We went to the NFL game 2 weeks ago. I took her to the game with me. After the first quarter, she said, I'm bored. And she got upset and she slept through two quarters. She's never done that before.
Wow.
But like already not able to have a slow, bored rhythm. So anyway, I don't know where it'll go, but I think like for me, I try to be proactive and make my kids do things like practice the piano, draw a picture, do Legos, something like that to create more rhythms that don't involve technology. But I think it really takes that proactive to really find that change.
Yeah.
So that reminds me of a book called The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. Are you guys familiar with this book at all?
Nah, but I'm going to write
it
down.
It's by, make sure I'm, I just looked it up. I just want to make sure I'm saying this correctly. Nicholas Carr. Yeah, Nicholas Carr. What the Internet's Doing to Our Brains, called The Shallows. And kind of the whole premise is the neurological pathways that's being created. And it's pretty undisputable. He's going with neurological science. But what he talks about is because of how the internet works and because of how we consume information, because of how we are entertained, we pop. We just pop. We see hyperlinks just popping, popping, popping. And that they've realized that people that spend a large amount of time reading just through blogs, emails, all this, just how the internet is set up, they have a really hard time sitting with a book. And because that requires linear thought, reading, and the way that we consume data on the internet or through our phones is not linear. It's pop. There's a word that he used for it, but it's different. His premise is it's not that we should do away with the phones or do away with the internet, but we need to take the time to also sit and exercise linear thinking, sitting with a book and actually reading, being quiet to allow our brains to expand to do both well. So when you're talking about that, it made me think about that in terms of, cause I can find it within myself. If I'm not reading consistently, it's hard for me cause I'm on my phone so much every day that when I sit back down with a book, it's almost like I have to it's like I'm working out again. I'm taking a large break. I have to rework those muscles.
Yeah. Did they talk about cable TV in the same way that we talk about technology? Like did our parents have like, man, they're just TV is going to be a problem.
I don't remember that. Do you?
I don't think so, but I mean, I'm sure there are some people that just like you're rotting your brain, just sitting there in front of the TV all the time.
But. I think it was considered the screen of that time.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think what you said is really, really right on, Robbie, in that like, there's so many things with our phones where text, like a ticket like to get into the game. There's so many things that are used that our phones are used for. I think it's just the same way. It's like saying, I don't think we're ever going to, I mean, we need sugar. Sugar at some level is important for our metabolism. It's just the excessive amount of it. So maybe we'll get to a place where certain things, and I know I took a big swing there. Certain things get regulated with our phones, with social media, with how we consume.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the phones are going away at all.
Well, to your point, I'm seeing a response in, you know, people wanting more human experiences now. So like, I've been performing with a concert organization called So Far, Songs from a Room. And so they do small, intimate concerts, usually no more than about like 50 to 80 people. And so sometimes in the house, in a winery, and, you know, random places. And that crowd...
Like physical location?
Physical location, you know, and it's kind of secretive too. That's what Joel Hamilton used to do in Charleston, So Far, same group. And that group seems to be like refreshing, like they're going out, they're listening to music versus streaming music. They're taking breaks and meeting people and, you know, creating community around that. And that to me, like you're hearing in these conversations that people are craving that more, which to me just feels like more like the human experience versus like an extension of it where I'm like watching other people have a human experience
or
a highlight of a human experience.
Yes.
You know, so I think those, I am seeing more of those kinds of efforts, even in the app development. I've been getting the Headway app or like
that's really good.
Calm app, all those apps popping up on my phone where it's teaching you how to slow down. So it's kind of that almost like a merge into that more human space.
No, I love it. Yeah. I think that that's the redemptive, you know, trajectory of the, all these things, you know, that we do push to healthier spaces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I cannot imagine how it was for my parents when I started driving and for them to have no idea where I was, if I was late. Like you can't call anybody. And now we have a freaking app called 360 where we know where our kids are at all times. And if you turn it off, you're in trouble.
Oh, wow.
We don't use it. Like we specifically have told our kids, unless you give us a reason that we need to put that on your phone, we will, but we don't use it ourselves. That's just how we chose to do it.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. I don't know.
That's interesting. Cause right now, I mean, obviously my kids don't really go anywhere, but like I would probably trust Lena Bear. he would have the app at all times.
it's definitely situational for sure. And I I generally see the glass half full and probably to my detriment sometimes. So
yeah. Hayne, you actually said in last episode about my seizure, or I don't know if you said it on air or off air, that you would just expose your kids. You would show them the video and all of that stuff. Don't you think that would be traumatizing though? Like why would I subject my kids to something they don't have to see? Like it would be one thing if someone had a seizure. This is their dad.
Because I think it's an opportunity to build resiliency for them and to do that under our roof.
Yeah.
So again, that's very situational. Like for example, when you said that Gwenny had a panic attack when she saw it. Yeah. I mean, it was to me, it'd be like, absolutely, we need to move her out of here because that's going to trigger her in a way.
I totally thought you didn't even care about Gwenny, but go ahead. You know, just because how you treat pictures of her and stuff. I just didn't even think you cared.
Wait, that was Gwenny? I thought it was...
What'd you think, Robbie?
I thought it was Rosa. A little older.
I didn't even know which kid it was. It was just a picture of a kid, and I just... Whatever.
I love the fact that Hane is all by himself in
right.
this.
He really is.
Did you hear my last recording, Joey, that I sent
you? Not yet. Robbie, we're on the B-sides. We're actually doing what Hane has called it, Dick Gate. He's basically recording, and then I'll listen to him, and then I'll record my response, and we're just kind of going back and forth. Yeah. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, when you listen to it, I'm still on an island, Joey. I'm still on an island.
Yeah.
But rewinding back, I think for like knowing, and you know your daughter, knowing that'd be so triggering for her, I totally get that. Like, hey, let's move her out of this space. But I feel like for William. And I don't know William. I'm just assuming that he doesn't struggle with that.
Yeah.
I would be apt to allowing him see that, allowing him seeing adults helping another adult, allow them seeing their dad being in a very vulnerable state, their mother loving him through that, taking care of him. And scary for sure. But I think that it's those scary moments that when we can walk through those with our kids, that it's going to build resiliency down the road.
I agree. I think that
Robbie gets the last word because I got to go.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want him popping off here with no bye. Yeah.
It'll happen, no, folks. It happens all the time.
I think that sometimes as parents, we can be really, really protective over, just like real life experiences. And I would say my parents definitely did that. When my uncle was in the hospital right before Christmas, this is years ago, they didn't want me going by the hospital because he had tubes inside of him and whatnot. And I snuck away and I went to the hospital by myself and I went and I sat with him and I sang to him and I spent time with him. And I'm so glad I did that because he passed away like a week or two after that.
Dang.
And, for me, I remember when I was 15, 16 years old, I had a kid at, my Boy Scout camp fall, get a concussion. I had to keep him awake on the way to the hospital. I literally had to slap him, which, that was hard for me. Like I had to slap him to keep him awake. And it just was like this whole thing where those experiences, they don't freak me out at all. Like I stay calm and level headed when in the face of emergencies, especially when it's if it's one of my parents, I can do that. I'm not getting overly emotional or shocked. I am able to kind of help them in that situation. So it is person by person, case by case, but I think ultimately it is helpful when we can kind of take the taboo thing out of the, actual emergencies and things like that for kids.
Yeah. Love y'all. It looks like Hane wants to close out with a guitar something, but y'all are going to have to do that without me. If one of y'all can stop the recording, because I got a meeting at 3 that I'm already late to.
Sure. Absolutely. We love you. Merry Christmas.
He is gone. Oh, he did it. He did it again.
That wasn't, it was like, it just out.
That was amazing.
Hey, Robbie, I'm curious. Are you excited about a playoff push? I know you love the players because you love people.
Great question. But
are you legit man, this is awesome. We're making a playoff run. And I guess that's a weird question to ask because if one of your buddies listens to this, they'll be like, dude, I thought we were friends, man. You're neutral?
No, I'm very excited. I'm super stoked. I'm all invested in this team now. I can't say that I watch a bunch of other football teams, but I watch obviously every Texans game and I'm all in. I'm not a crazy fan because the fans get crazy. I'm learning that. As I take this journey here, fans are on another level. Like the things that they respond to, the things that, I remember when we missed that field goal kick at the end, and watching the commentary after that was just so absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
People calling for an athlete to be fired and this and that. It's so stupid. So anyway, I'm not that level of crazy, right. But I am. Team Texans, let's go to the playoffs.
Robbie, real quick, let me interrupt you. This is gonna be funny because it's a tech thing, but I think what's happening is your dread, and I'm not kidding, is covering up the mic. Is there a microphone in your Bluetooth?
Yeah, my AirPod. Can you hear me?
You need to put your hair in the back. No, we can hear you. but you go from being really, really, really quiet
to muffled
to muffled to clear.
Okay. Is that one better? Because sometimes it happens when I have one.
No,
it's not any better.
It goes in and out of real good quality to muffled.
Weird. Well, I might try to switch.
See, it sounds great now.
It does?
It still sounds muffled to me.
Still sounds muffled?
Yeah. Now it's muffled.
It's actually been happening on some other things, on other apps too, so maybe I'll try to switch to my headphones.
Yeah.
With the adapter and see if that works.
Yeah, and possibly, since these are separate tracks, I'd probably be able to make it work, but anyhow.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can do it on the computer. I haven't done that yet. Here, I'll try to switch over to the computer.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little hard for me to hear. I'll make sure I catch everything you're saying.
Oof. Okay.
So continue your thought.
So I was going to say, I just got an invitation the other 2 days ago to audition for a TV show.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow. That films probably during the playoffs.
Whoa.
So we'll see. It's not a show that I should be on. I'm just going to say
The Bachelor. Is it The Bachelor?
It's not a show that you want to be on. You said,
no, it's not a show that I should be on. So I would go on a show like American Idol or The Voice or something, but this particular show is all about remembering lyrics.
Hane, are you reading between the lines? Because I am.
Yep.
Robbie's basically saying, if we don't make the playoffs, everything works out just
exactly.
Nicely.
I got a perfect backup plan. That's what I'm hearing. I love it.
I like my team, but hey, if they don't make it, it works out for me.
No, that's not what I'm